Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't worry, I'm still married. Barely.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here! Ooh, thank you very much for sending Wretched Things to idea@wretched.org. Don't forget, use your text or machine. Questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to 877-282-2337. And thanks for the prayers to hold my marriage together. Gentlemen, I'm just here to help. Should you ever find yourself in this situation, do not do what I did. Because I'll be honest with you, sometimes understanding women, It's complex. I thought I was just being funny. So I'm sitting at the kitchen counter. Down the stairs comes Mrs. Friel. I happened as a spoof to be sending a YouTube link to all of the folks that are involved in the worship service at Alpharetta Bible Church. It's the outline of the worship, the Old Testament reading, New Testament, where does the hymn go, when are we going to, that sort of stuff. And then at the very bottom, I said to the ladies who were going to be singing, if you want to do a solo, this would be an excellent addition to the service. Because we're going to talk about Jesus, friend of sinners. And this would work.
Jesus is a friend of mine. Jesus is my friend. Jesus is a friend of mine.
You're welcome.
Jesus is a friend of mine. Jesus is my friend. Jesus is a friend.
Mrs. Friel sees the YouTube image up on my computer screen and says, don't do it. And I didn't obey.
My life as it should be. He taught me how to turn my cheek when people laugh.
Bad move. Don't do it, gentlemen. Don't do it. We're together, but I got to tell you, it was close.
Jesus is a friend of mine. Jesus is a friend of mine.
You just better hope they don't do it Sunday.
Wouldn't that be a... There's some... Okay, what a friend we have in Jesus. That's a good one. But there, what was the name of the one? I'm going to have to go find it. The lyrics are spectacular. Alleluia, what a savior. Alleluia, what a friend. Oh, so good. Because I was thinking about the word friend. Not in that Sunseed version of Jesus is a friend of mine, but he calls himself our friend. And the people who were very religious didn't like that Jesus was a friend of sinners. Ask yourself the question, what are friends like? They don't just give some form of tacit approval to you. Yeah, I know. No, a friend is somebody who cares, who gives, who sacrifices, who helps. That's our Savior. He is all of those things. If you happen to be in Alpharetta Sunday morning, we'll find out together.
Me how to praise my God and still play rock and roll. The music may sound different, but the message is the same. It's just an instrument to praise his name.
That's rock and roll.
I hope they do it.
Oh, man, Silla. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Ben. Todd, my wife and I began visiting a PCA church in 2020. In late 2021, my wife had a miscarriage, and we've not been able to conceive since. It's hard to be encouraged when you're reminded that all other church group couples have been blessed with a child after losing yours.
Yeah.
Church events are all kid-centered. And for the last family picnic, there was an email correction sent the day before saying those without kids could also attend. Yeah. We feel like an afterthought.
Yeah, no, I doubt you are. I'm not at your church, so I can't make a definitive declaration, but I'm sure they're caring people. And it is this is a little bit of a tricky sort of scenario. And this isn't the only one, by the way. There are good things that we Christians should be promoting. Marriage, having children, they're most excellent things. In fact, I was thinking about this earlier this week. We were talking about marriage, that book from Brad Wilcox, and that women actually want, you know, a man to marry and not a soy boy. And we were talking about the care that a man should have for his wife, etc., and how good it is to be in that sort of intimate relationship, that it is profound and rich and deep, and having kids, there's nothing like getting a hug from the night before, House Hunters. Admit it, you watch the HGTV too. No, you don't watch it?
I don't watch HGTV.
Does Mrs. Hicks watch it?
No, she's too busy doing what they're doing on HGTV.
So you are HGTV.
That's right.
And they bought a house. I know what they were doing. They were showing to see if they were still married. I maybe for all I know, he played this. Jesus is a friend of mine. But did they survive the big repair? They were going to fix up the house and all of that. And they were showing it. And the guy was so excited at the end because the room, it was just this massive room that had the kitchen and the living or the family. It was like all in view. And he said, that means I get to spend so much time with my kids. And they showed him on his hands and knees. And he's he's a horse for one of them. And another one comes running up and just throws her arms around daddy's neck. Oh, man. Those things are good and they're sweet. And we should celebrate those things and encourage those things. Having said that, we need to be aware of the hurt that often accompanies the marriage where there's a miscarriage or they're not able to get pregnant. We just need to be thoughtful. And so I would make a plea to both parties, to the church, be mindful. Don't forget. And I will confess it. I tend to forget that too. It's really easy to do. It's not malicious on my part. I doubt it, that it is on the Presbyterians' part either. So be mindful that when you talk about marriage and parenting, and even when you talk about things like good health, or that God bless somebody with a job, there could be three people sitting there going, I can't get work. I can't find a paycheck anyplace. We just need to be sensitive and thoughtful. Now, on the other side, if you're the one who doesn't have children now, please be a little patient. I don't put the best construction on it that they don't intend to harm you. That is not the idea. They don't want to hurt you. Maybe they're even being thoughtless. Try to overlook a multitude of forgetfulnesses and try to understand where they're coming from. And if you feel that it is important to on occasion remind them, hey, when you talk about this, it just might be helpful to those in the body if you include people who are still single, they can't find a spouse, people who are married, who want to have kids, but God has not opened the womb. I say you can certainly do that. But in this instance, I think what we don't want to do is one or the other. Oh, then we'll never talk about marriage or having kids. I think that's wrong. On the other side, to talk about just being single all the time, we don't want to do that either. We don't want to force people to not talk about good things. So I don't think that it is the right to do an overcorrective. We're seeing that in culture, aren't we? That we shouldn't have Mother's Day because there are some people who shouldn't have mothers. Now, it's a national holiday. Every day is Mother's Day in the Christian home. We should be honoring our parents all the time. But some people are crying out because some people can't be mothers. There shouldn't be Mother's Day. That's not right either. I just think we should keep doing those things that uplift good things, being mindful that some people might be hurting. Jimmy, you got anything to add for that rather sensitive situation?
No, it's just it is sensitive.
It is. And, you know, maybe just a thought, one of the things that we could do when we talk about parenting or marriage, or when we're praying or making the announcement, is to always try to give a word to those, hey, don't lose hope. It's the Lord who opens and closes the womb. His timing is perfect. Be encouraged. We love you, and we don't want you to think that we aren't aware. Something simple as that could get the job done. And that way we keep uplifting what is good without canceling everything that might possibly be offensive. Otherwise, we would never be able to talk about somebody's successful surgery, because Phil Johnson might be there and he could say, hey, my surgery was a mess. And by the way, Phil is doing better. Thanks for asking. He says that he's about 75% recovered.
Hmm.
Yep. And he just had the port taken out of his neck. I think that's where they put it for the kidney dialysis. Incidentally, speaking of kidneys, I'm glad I brought this up. Next week, here's a question for you to ruminate on. There's an organization that is suggesting we pay people $50,000 in actual tax credits, not deducts, tax credits, for donating a kidney so that people can live. In other words, paying for body parts. Put on your Christian ethics hat and ponder that one. This is Wretched Radio.
I'm so excited about this.
That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the reality of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
This May, how would you like to create countless Mother's Day celebrations? You say, I can't do that. I only have one mother. While that is most certainly true, there are countless women who find themselves in a crisis pregnancy situation, perhaps being pressured to abort their child. Enter Preborn Ministries, providing ultrasounds, clothing, food, counseling, and best of all, the gospel. And if you would consider supporting Preborn Ministries during the month of May, we have a matching gift campaign taking place, which means dollar for dollar, your gift will be matched. That means if you provide, say, 5 ultrasounds for $28 per ultrasound, that will be 10 babies, because women choose life when they see their child in utero. Would you please consider creating countless Mother's Day celebrations? Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The prophet Jeremiah preached judgment and repentance to Judah for more than 40 years. He was mocked, beaten, and imprisoned. But in the end, God's judgment came upon Judah. When you hold fast to the word of God, you will be heartbroken, mocked, and even persecuted. But let Jeremiah remind you that every word of God will prove true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't you worry if you missed it. It's still there. This is Wretched Radio. Big night last night in Gospel Partners Media Land. We had a premiere of a YouTube special event where we introduced all of the jolly good fellows who are going to be joining this ministry, producing podcasts, articles, videos, resources, webinars, so that this ministry can be bigger, it can be stronger, it can be louder, and it can be more helpfuler. Thank you very much if you joined it. Thank you very much if you contributed to the matching gift campaign that we currently have. Appreciate that. Really more than you know. I have to confess, I'm still shocked. Any time that I see somebody sending in a gift, I'm amazed. It just floors me, and I continue to find it weighty. It's heavy. It brings about a gravity to handling money and spending money as a ministry. It's oh so serious that you, for instance, would trust us enough, be interested enough, think that anything that we are doing here might be good kingdom work. It makes me just go, we're watching every penny around here, people. So if you missed last night's premiere, you can catch it on the YouTube machine. Encourage you to watch it. You'll meet a cavalcade.
I think that's right.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I do too.
A cavalcade of stars featuring Jack Benny. John Wayne, that's what that word sounded like. A little dated, perhaps. You can see it on the YouTube machine. And if you can, if you do trust us and think that we are trying to do things that are going to be helpful for the local church, please consider supporting us. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched.org/donate. We have a very large matching gift campaign going on now, and we would be mega grateful. And as long as you're at the YouTube machine, you could send YouTube videos. Please do. If you see something and you think, well, that's wretched, send it to idea@wretched.org. Don't forget 877-282-2337.
All right, this comes in by text from Anonymous. It's a parenting question as well. Todd, how can parents know when or at what age they should begin disciplining their children?
Yeah, immediately. Now, what does that look like? That is, if you automatically went to, what? I'm supposed to use a wooden spoon and a belt on my newborn child? No. But even with a newborn child, and increasing your volume of your voice, that's disciplinary enough. That when you start to see little sinful things happening, and you can pick how many weeks or months we're talking about, but just know that's discipline enough. Read Ted Tripp's Shepherding a Child's Heart. He gets into the subject, and I think every parent should have, of course, the liberty to make that determination. If I recall, he's like months into it. You can like a little pat on the hand, because there is a connection between body and soul. And they do learn, and they do begin to understand. And this is going to maybe sound a little old school, but it's biblical school. One of the most profound and surprising things that Ted says in his book, which is a classic, by the way, the first order of business for the parent is to have your child submit. That is first order, priority number one. Never abusing the child, of course. Never disciplining in age inappropriate ways, of course. We got to be mindful. Talk to other parents about it. Consider, get wisdom on this subject. Read Ted Tripp's book. But whatever you do, get your child under submission. And perhaps that strikes your ear as, whoa. Because our current culture thinks that parents should be pals. And you will not see any more miserable children than kids whose parents did not get them under their authority. I can't help but think this is connected to the depression suicide rates that we're seeing among kids. This is you've seen it when kids don't have somebody to say, hey, knock it off. That's not the way we behave around here. This is the consequence for your behavior. I got to tell you, those are miserable kids, aren't they? But the same thing is true with dogs. I think you don't get a dog under control. They're miserable because they're not made to run a home. And neither are children. A two-year-old who's never disciplined is a toddling terror because they're just constantly feeling the pressure. I'm the one running this place. And they're not made to run the place. When should you start? Sooner than later. Jimmy, you want to add anything to that?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head.
It's so important. You really, and if you do it early, you have to do it less. It's just the way that, because they believe it. Believe you.
I can't tell you the number of people that walked up to my parents when I was a child and complimented them because of how well behaved me and my brother were.
Yeah.
And all my dad had to do was look at me.
Yep.
I knew what that meant.
Yep. You don't want to get the accompanying switch that goes with that look. No. Correct? Well, and everybody can figure that out for themselves. Read Shepherding a Child's Heart. It'll be helpful. But whatever you do, please, please don't think you have your kid under your authority if you're 1, 2, 3 timeouting them. Ugh. Oh, ho, ho, ho. This is one of my better impressions. Deepak Chopra, pretty good. No, pretty good, Deepak. This is every parent who does 1, 2, 3 timeout. I think it's still a trend out there to a degree. Hey, what are you doing? Don't hit your sister. 1. Don't hit your 2. Don't hit your sister like that. 2. Don't make me get to 3, because I'll get to 3, and it'll be a 2, 2 and a quarter. 2, 2 and a, quit hitting your sister! And then they wait till you get to 2 7/8. It's a terrible parenting strategy. You have the authority, use it. And if we might draw a parallel to adult world, guess what? We're not made to run a universe. We're not made to run a world. That's why we should be submitting to our God and entrusting ourselves to Him. And I do believe social media violates the understanding that human beings aren't made to have all knowledge. We aren't made to know everything that's going on everywhere. We cannot handle all of the bad news that gets funneled right through social media. It's just all of the horror. We can't handle it. We can't bear it because we aren't God. So we too, just like kids, we need to be submitting to God. Submission, that is every aspect of the Christian life, every aspect. Students to teachers, parents to children, employees to employers, and all of us, of course, submitting to one another and giving deference to others. But chiefly submitting to God. Submission, don't overlook it, young mom and dad. 877, I almost did Tommy Two Tone. 877, I still got that dumb song stuck in my head from last weekend. I didn't go to the Tommy Two Tone show. But
you didn't have to.
I didn't have to. It was frankly loud enough. It was pretty muffled by the time it got to our place, but it was still like, okay, that's enough. I'm not sure that I missed the 80s as much as I thought that I did. 877-282-2337. Thank you.
That's it. All right. This is from Isaac. Todd, we've been talking about the topic of homosexuality in our youth group, and I was wondering what the Christian response should be to unbelieving visitors or occasional attendees of our church who live openly sinful lifestyles.
Yeah, if they're just visiting, I would take the opportunity to engage them, to bring them in. I didn't say to give them a teaching position or to welcome them in church membership, but absolutely bring them in. It is, depending on the size of the youth group, I suppose, even if you don't have somebody walk in who's a guest or a visitor who you might suspect has those tendencies, you probably got a kid who's wrestling with it. they are being bombarded with the message. I'm telling you, if you don't think social media molds kids and causes them to behave in certain ways, then you have not been watching the pro-Gaza rallies on university campuses. These kids were oblivious. Gaza? Is that Gaza? Are we for Gad? We're for Gaza? Okay. Go Gaza! Bad Israel! Bad Israel! They had no idea. Why are they so pumped up? Indoctrination to a degree. Social media, peer pressure. They hear messages that are contra-biblical all day, and so do the kids in your youth group. And I would encourage you, if you do have the ability to talk to youth, bring it up in a group setting. Just bring it up. You don't have to ask for hands who's dealing with it, but you could be talking about the issue, because if you don't, then the only messages they will hear almost certainly will be unbiblical. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News Break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, as we approach the 2024 presidential election, it seems like federal agencies just can't resist the temptation to meddle in free speech. Despite being exposed for interfering with First Amendment rights, key agencies have reportedly resumed discussions with social media companies about removing so-called disinformation from their platforms. Senate Intelligence Committee Chair Mark Warren revealed that these talks restarted as the Supreme Court heard arguments in a case fueled by allegations of government coercion to censor content related to vaccine safety and the 2020 election results. That's good. After all, we wouldn't want pesky things like facts and differing opinions to interfere with the narrative, now would we? In other news, another transgender individual has just been arrested for allegedly making threats against a Christian school in Nashville. Just days before the one-year anniversary of the tragic coveted school shooting, a transgender alum of Christ Presbyterian Academy left a voicemail referencing the movie Deadpool 2 and suggested that they were contemplating a murderous rampage. The defendant, who now identifies as a male, also posted volatile messages about religious and conservative figures, causing the school to close for a day out of an abundance of caution. Moving to the health realm, Ascension Health, one of the nation's largest networks, has fallen victim to a suspected cyber attack. The disruption affected clinical operations, with patients experiencing lengthy wait times and wait staff resorting to old-fashioned paper charts. Perhaps it's time for our country to stop sending aid to foreign countries and spending money shoring up our own infrastructures. But that might make too much sense. In more positive news, Missouri Governor Mike Parson has signed a bill to defund Planned Parenthood and other abortion businesses in the state. Good on him. The move comes after a Project Veritas expose revealed Planned Parenthood employees allegedly discussing how they take teen girls across state lines for secret abortions without parental knowledge or consent. And speaking of Planned Parenthood, the organization has announced another closure of another abortion facility in Pennsylvania, citing the reality of the post-Dobbs landscape. But a closer look reveals a history of failed state health inspections, including serious infractions like failing to report a botched abortion and not obtaining informed consent. And Planned Parenthood seems to be struggling to maintain its grip on Pennsylvania, and hopefully it struggles to maintain its grip anywhere else in this country. That's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Revelation. General revelation is God's act of making himself known through his creation. A part of general revelation is the sensus divinatus, a sense of the divine. God has given every person an undeniable awareness of his existence. There are no true atheists, only rebels in denial of what every person knows to be true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Should I push play? No, I shouldn't. Am I going to? Yes. Yes, I am. Tommy Two Tone 2024. I want to see if he's lip syncing. He sounded pretty good. But he's 76?
He's got to be.
On pitch. you might be lip syncing.
Yeah. Do you record this off your deck?
The reason I think he's lip syncing is because I pushed another one that was even more muffled, and it sounds exactly the same. Now, this is a different one. You hear that rat that he threw in there?
Uh-huh.
Same place? Methinks it's lip synced.
Just seasoned.
Seasoned.
Oh, yeah, it's the exact same.
That was it right there. Yeah, that might have been the tell right there. Well, bless his heart. Please send whatever you want. Not 867-5309, but 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Talia. Todd, why do we Protestants reject the use of crosses that still picture Christ on the cross?
Yeah, because first of all, it's typically that was a Roman Catholic symbol, and the Protestant reformers removed Jesus from the cross because, remember, he didn't stay dead. He rose. He ascended. We celebrate his ascension. It was the Roman Catholic Church that typically has a crucifix with Jesus on it. The Protestants said, no, let's speak a different word, that he's not still there. He's not still being re-sacrificed via the Mass. He's an ascended and a risen Savior. That's been the tradition. And I think another component of it might be that it was considered a violation of making a graven image would have been a definite issue for most, if not all, of the reformers. And so the Protestants said, no Savior on the cross. Let's celebrate the resurrection. And I think that's a pretty good habit to continue following.
877-282-2337.
Go ahead, give the number.
877.
Wait a second, though. Hold on. He just sang, and then he spoke to somebody in the crowd, and the mic was on. Maybe he is singing it after all. No, I don't think, because usually the microphone has to be off if you're doing the lip sync.
Yeah,
thing.
He turns it on and off. He's got a switch.
Oh, stop it. Give the man some credit, will you? It is only here at Wretched Radio that the mysteries to the profundity of whether or not Tommy Two-Tone is lip syncing at the tender age of 76 while he's still touring the country on his greatest hit.
We answer your deepest questions.
Idea@wretched.org. That would be another way to get us stuff.
All right, this is from Peter. He texted in and wanted to know, while browsing antique Bibles on eBay recently, a satanic Bible came up as one of the listings. Should a Christian ever consider buying something like this with the intent to burn it?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I also think that I would, to if you need to study it, perhaps if you're witnessing to somebody, perhaps, you know, the Satan Club wants to meet in your school, you could grab their Bible to say, I'm going to look through this thing and then maybe share it with the school board. In other words, there might be a purposeful reason for doing it. Short of that, I wouldn't crack the thing open on a bet. I don't think that demons can be embedded on the letters on the pages, but it's just, that would be the epitome or epitome of darkness and dark reading. I wouldn't do it for fun. And especially if you are a newer believer, or you can be a wobbly-kneed believer, just stay away from that stuff. This isn't because we're afraid of anything and being confronted with different ideologies. That's not a problem. It's just being wise. You're just being wise by not consuming it if you're in a season where you got some stuff going on. Get that stuff sorted. And then if you need to for some reason, okay. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is
like the burning idea the best.
Yeah, seems fitting.
Can you order a bunch of them?
Yeah.
Hey, wait. Speaking of Bibles, gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on. In fact, I've got a Zoom on Monday, I believe, next week with the good folks at the Masters Academy International talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. And we'll let you know more about that. But it was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. So be looking for those details. But as long as I brought up the Master's Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. And they now have 19 mini seminaries around the globe where they're training thousands of men to rightly divide the word. You want churches strengthened? Consider supporting the Master's Academy International, wretched.org/pastor.
All right, this is from JJ. Todd, my wife works at a pro-life clinic, and there has been a change in leadership over the last few months. The new leader is also a pastor and occasionally preaches from the pulpit when the elder pastor is not available. The problem here is that the new leader is a woman. Our question is, should my wife continue to work at the pro-life clinic?
Just to make sure I got this clear, your wife is working at a pro-life clinic, but not going to the church
Correct.
Or the new director. So she's at another. Personally, I don't see any reason why you could not work there. You're going to have a sinner as a boss. That's the reality. Okay, here at Gospel Partners Media, people don't have a sinner as a boss, but that is the exception. And speaking of manifesting, that sounded like something came out of you. What was that all about? That there shouldn't be an issue. If she's doing that, that's on her. That's on her church. But you're not connected to that. You're not supporting that. You're just working to try to do a good work. That wouldn't trouble. It would trouble me, but not to the point of wanting to forfeit my job because she's a pastor or preaching at some church.
Yeah, especially at a pro-life clinic. She's doing good work.
It's very good work.
Right.
I wonder if it happens to be a pre-born ministries clinic. Look out! Two plugs in one segment. Now, a lot of these programs, they might do one plug per segment. Oh, not it too. Preborn, great ministry. If you love the life cause and you like to see people get saved because they preach the gospel to everybody who comes through their doors, Preborn Ministries, outstanding. In fact, hold the phone, Henrietta. This month, they too have a matching gift campaign. We've got one going on for our big initiative. And they've got one for Mother's Day. So if you're a pro-lifer and you're thinking about supporting a really good gospel-centered ministry that saves lives, you can't do better. Preborn.org/wretched.
All right, this is from...
I'm exhausted.
This is from Christian. Todd, hey, I'm planning to put a table up on my campus with a sign that says, "Why don't you believe in Jesus?" Mm-hmm. My plan is to attract the lost and also people that have been hurt by or have misconceptions about Jesus.
Yeah.
Is there any other way you could think I could specifically approach and target these people?
I think that I would work really long and hard on the sign to make sure that it sends the message you want. Might it be, "Why don't you believe in Jesus?" Might be. You might want to piggyback on, is it Charlie Kirk who does that "Change My Mind"?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Uh-huh. Crowder did that too. Or was that Stephen Crowder that did
it
that?
It could have been both.
Maybe both. You know, "Change My Mind." It works. Be ready though, because you're going to get some people. If you do that, you're going to get hostile people. That's kind of what those things tend to be for. Gets lots of YouTube viewers. So you might want to reconsider that one. Spend your time just thinking about your messaging. Make sure that you're prepared. And make sure that if you are, however you're marketing this via the sign, that that's what you're doing. So you mentioned, Jimmy, when you read through that, it was like four different types of people. All right, well, make sure then if you're messaging to those different types of people that you actually have something to say, give, or do for those types of people. But I want to encourage you, do it. Do it. I think that your peers, now, it would be interesting if you try doing this to see what sort of response you get. Close, but I don't look like a university student anymore. And I'm telling you, they talk to me. Okay, granted, I slip them a $20 bill, but nevertheless, they're willing to talk for the longest time. They will just sit because somebody's interested in them. Don't see them as an enemy. Don't see them as stupid. They're lost just like you once were. Love on them. By the way, free food doesn't hurt. Especially if you're working with a local church, which is always a good idea, to have some home-baked goodies would be a great idea. I'd love to hear from you to see if they responded to you, if it's maybe in some way, shape, or form a demographic thing. And whatever you do, make sure you preach the law before the gospel. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you who tune in and listen on a daily basis. And look, things are changing around here. You've heard us talking about it, and it's going to be a reality very soon. Later this year, 8 powerful voices joining this ministry. Men like Tim Challies, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. John Krotz, and others, they will be joining this ministry, creating content, writing articles, making videos, creating resources and podcasts. This is going to be something like you've never seen before, and we need your help in order to make this a possibility. Log on to our website at wretched.org/fellows to get all of the information on how you can join us in our current $250,000 match campaign. Every dollar you're able to give to this new effort will be matched and doubled. We need your partnership in order to make this happen. Wretched.org/fellows is where you get the details. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
If you're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry, oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
As you know, we've been sharing with you some big changes that are coming very soon here to Gospel Partners Media. 8 new powerful voices will soon be joining the fold. It's our biggest and boldest move yet. Imagine a Christian version of the Daily Wire. Well, that is what's on its way. These men that are joining our ministry will be creating compelling content that will speak truth into our darkening culture. I'm talking about men like Pastor Brad Bigney, Tim Challies, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. John Krotz, and others. But here's where you come in. We need your help to make this vision a reality. We're in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign. Every dollar you give will be double. We know you have questions, and we have answers available right now at wretched.org/fellows. That's wretched.org/fellows. And remember, while we would love to have your financial partnership, we covet your prayers even more. Wretched.org/fellows.
Attributes of God. Aseity is the word for God's self-existence. Nobody made God. God is the unmoved mover who causes all other things to be. All things depend on God for their continued existence. God does not need his creation. He chose to create us, to glorify him, and enjoy him forever. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Whether you're Jenny or not, please text questions, comments, conundrum, snarks to 877-282-2337 here on Wretched Radio.
All right. This is a text from Ashley. Todd, Exodus
23:19. Oh, that's a good verse.
Is it? What does it say?
Well, you
you didn't let me finish. No,
what do you mean? What does it say?
Exodus.
It's a law. And if you don't know it, I'm a little disappointed.
It says you must not boil a young goat in its mother's milk.
Duh.
She's wondering, why was that a command in the first place? And does it still apply?
Have you ever tasted goat boiled in its mother's milk?
You wouldn't do it either.
You wouldn't do that. That would be a bad thing to do, he says, as he scrambles to find Exodus 23:19, hoping that John MacArthur has a footnote on the sub. Yeah, here we go. Here, this is, I'm telling you, you need a MacArthur Study Bible. You really do. Because you're going to bump into verses like this and scratch your head. And rather than compiling a bunch of question marks, typically the footnotes resolve them for you. So helpful. And here's my challenge. Haven't issued this in a long time. Get a MacArthur Study Bible. I like NASB. ESV is good. Legacy Bible, Standard Bible, if you like that. Get it and start reading through the entire New Testament, one book at a time, any order, at your own pace, but read all the footnotes. You want to read all the footnotes is what you want to do. And I'm telling you, when you are done, you will know more than most pastors in this country. That ain't a pleasant thing to have to acknowledge, but that's the reality. You're going to know a lot when you're done. So get yourself a MacArthur Study Bible. And by the way, if you're going to read one of the Gospels to kick it off, I would encourage Matthew. You say, is that because it's the first one? Well, it's the first one for a reason. Matthew is the connector gospel. Because the other three gospels, John is written to a general audience, but Mark and Luke, they're writing to Gentiles. And Matthew hits it right up front with the genealogy of Jesus. This is the bridge book. Okay, you've been waiting for the Messiah. Here we go. And the entire gospel is intended to show he fulfilled. I think 12, 13, 14, he fulfilled. And not to mention all of the Old Testament allusions to different scriptures that Jesus fulfilled. Okay, forget Exodus 23, 19 for a moment. I've got to go find the psalm. I stumbled onto something last week when I was preparing a sermon on Jesus, the storm on the Sea of Galilee. He leaves probably near Capernaum, comes over to the land of the Gadarenes, Gentile land. The pig business happened. They say, get out. He gets back in the boat and comes across. Well, that's the scenario. And Jesus calms the storm. And I love Luke, the parallel account. Luke says they were afraid. So they went to, hey, master, why are you sleeping? We're going to die here. And then Jesus rebukes them. Oh, you of little faith. And then with one word, peace, be still, just shh, and everything calmed down. And Luke says they were sore afraid. Whoa, they were afraid of the storm, but they were more afraid of Jesus when he calmed the storm. You better believe it. If you saw a man say, shh, and nature stopped because of his word, you would be afraid to, and we should be. We should have a reverential fear of God. It is good and it is right to have a reverential fear of God, not a cowering fear, but a filial fear. Wow, we're dealing with something really otherly here. Not terrified of our God. We're not going to meet him as judge. We're going to meet him as father, but he's still just infinitely more than what we are. And fear is good. I think Psalm 118, I think Psalm 112, it talks about blessed is the man who fears the Lord. It is good to fear him rightly, but fear him we should. And I want to find the psalm that is basically describing about God what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 8, because it's the exact same thing. God raises up a storm. People are freaking out. Calms it down. They worship him. Boom. That's exactly what Jesus did. Matthew using the Old Testament to show Jesus divine, the Son of God. That's why starting with Matthew is probably the best gospel to start with. Furthermore, a lot of the footnotes in Luke, Mark, and John, they'll say, go read the footnote in Matthew, because especially with the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic gospels. They share a fair amount of the same material, although there's always some coloring that happens in each one based on what their agenda and goal was for their authorship. But they'll send you back to Matthew. And if you've already read the footnotes in Matthew, then you don't have to go back there and be paging back and forth all the time. So Exodus 23:19. I wish I could think of that psalm. 48, maybe? Behold, this is the footnote from John MacArthur. Don't boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Canaanite ritual, according to excavations at Ras Shamra, which is ancient Ugarit, doesn't know that, called for sacrificial kids to be boiled in milk. But the damaged Ugaritic text does not clearly specify mother's milk. If it were so, then it is understandable that Israel was being prevented from copying pagan idolatrous ritualism. Another option suggests that the dead kid was being boiled in the very substance which had sustained its life, hence the prohibition. Until more archaeological information comes to light, the specific religious or cultural reason remains as supposition. It would make sense that it was a pagan practice, and they were forbidden from doing that. That's why you need to get a MacArthur Study Bible and send stuff to 877-282-2337.
I'm sorry, I was looking for your psalm. I think
is it 48?
No, I think it's 107.
All right, hold on. You read. I'll continue the search.
I read the question, the next question. Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, first, let me correct you real quick.
Oh, boy.
You mentioned the MacArthur Study Bible. You can pick it up in the Legacy Standard. It's not in the Legacy Standard yet.
Oh, they don't have this on the footnotes yet.
No.
Come on, people. Dr. MacArthur. Let's get on it.
Yeah, I know. All right, this next question is texted in from Hunter. Todd, I am dating this young woman and have thought about marrying her. A topic came up recently of changing the last name and hyphenating the last name.
Yep.
I want her to have my last name, but is it wrong if she doesn't take it?
Is it wrong? Well, there's not a biblical command to do so. It has been a tradition in the West because of what we believe is a marriage. It is a covenant where two become one. And typically in a covenant, this is not, well, we actually do see this in some of the covenant ceremonies. They're simply described, not prescribed, but Avram had an H inserted. Maybe it was for Yahweh, don't know for sure, but he went from Avram to Abraham. Why? Because there was a name change at the covenant. It was a reminder that two are now one. And so the woman, because of the roles in the home, she would take the name of the man. And they would unify behind that name as a family. And I think we were talking about that earlier this week with that Brad Wilcox book, that people who take the name where the woman takes the name of the husband, their marriages are happier and more successful, less prone to divorce, because they stand. This is the thing we're doing. I'm not holding on to my family. Remember, we leave and cleave. That goes for both of us. We leave and we cleave. We don't stay, our old family, no, this is a new unit and a new thing. So the Bible gives hints toward it. Our culture has brought those ideas based on what covenant is into marriage where the woman takes the man's name. But these days it's being undermined and people rightly ask, well, is it commanded? And the answer is no, it's not commanded. But wow. There's so much wisdom in it. There's just a lot of wisdom in it. And I will say this, just like joint bank accounts, if you're not prepared to lose your name to join with your other flesh, you're just not ready to be married. I just don't think you're ready. If that's something you insist to clinging on to, then you should really take a long look and ask the question, am I really prepared to be one flesh? Jimmy, you think it's 107 still?
I do.
All right.
I do. Are you in 48? Or did you go to 107?
I'm going to 107 like you told me to.
Okay, start in verse 23.
Verse 23, of course. Those who go down to the... You found it. Well done. I knew there was a 40 in there someplace. It's verse 43. No, 23. Never mind. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters. Think about Jesus on the sea calming it. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep, for he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. The soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Sound like the disciples? Sure does. This is the Old Testament. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Unhitch the Old Testament? Not a chance. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.